Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16, if you would. I want to talk to you tonight about who do you say he is? Who do you say that he is? I want to read this, Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20, and then we're going to say some things. But let's read this account. Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20. This is the King James Bible I'm reading from. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, or Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say you're John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Here in this section of Scripture, Jesus starts off by asking them, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And then he asks the question in verse 15 that is a totally different, and in fact, in the original, now I'm not a Greek scholar, but I can read what Greek scholars have said. It's a question that is asked more emphatically, "But you, who do you say that I am?" And every person on earth must answer this question. Every person that's ever breathed a breath on this earth must answer that question. Who do you say that Jesus is? Who do you say? He asked them, who do they say? Who are the people saying that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, you know, they want to make him one of the prophets, you know. Elijah, Jeremiah, Isaiah, one of those prophets. Some even, you know, other places they talked to, you know, that maybe he was John the Baptist there, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But then he asked Peter that direct question. And Peter's confession was not just a good confession. He wasn't just saying something. He spoke this by revelation, Jesus said. Now, you know, we'll get back to that in a second, but Jesus went on to tell him, "It's upon this rock that I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus never built his church on any man. The church isn't built on Peter. The church is built on the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and there's nothing, what he's saying, and there's nothing hell can do about it. That is the key to the kingdom. That is the key that unlocks the door, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And so Peter's confession was a personal trust in Christ. Yes, He made some statements concerning his name, but he's answering this all-important question. This question will determine your person, your eternal destiny, the answer that you have. It's a true confession. When we confess, we're saying what God says about the situation, our personal trust in Christ. Notice how simple it was. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. This confession is what saves us. It lays the foundation. It's the foundational cornerstone of the church that he is the Christ. Who? The Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one of God. He's the Son of God, one with the Father of the same being, of the same substance. He's the Son of the living God, the source and being of life, possessing the very energy and power of life within himself. He is Jesus. You know, I doubt very seriously that Peter fully understood what he said that day, but that's all right. He got it by revelation. You know, think about this. The cross hadn't happened yet. The resurrection hadn't taken place yet. But his simple confession, based on his trust that arose in his heart when this was revealed to him, of the conviction that Jesus was the Christ, Son of the living God. It's that simple trust that God is looking for in each and every one of us. It's what our heart really longs for. Nothing more than nothing less that we would simply confess, I believe that you are the true Messiah. I believe that you're not a mere man. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe, Jesus, you are sent by God. And I believe you're here to fulfill all that was foretold of the prophets concerning you. You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the Son of the living God. You remember Jesus told, he made statements that, you know, he is the resurrection and the life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So this question is personal. And as we said, it's directed to every person. Whom do you say that I am? But you. So I'm asking you, who do you? You sitting there tonight. Me standing here tonight. Who do we say that Jesus is? As we said, every person has to answer. Our eternal destiny depends upon this answer. It's critical. It's not just a confession about Christ that he's after. It's about our belief. What do you believe? Jesus made statements like, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. Even Mark 11:23, whatsoever things you say, yeah, but that you believe in your heart and doubt not, that's what's going to come to pass. What do you believe? What belief comes out of your fellowship with God through his word, out of your fellowship with God through prayer, out of your fellowship with God as we spend time with him? What do you believe about him? Just like Peter received that revelation. Amen. God wants to reveal himself to you. There was nothing. In fact, Peter was very ordinary. He's a fisherman. I don't know how successful he was. He did have a boat and some nets, but he fished all night, didn't catch anything the first time Jesus ever met him. Then Jesus about sunk his boat. Amen. Some of us need some boat sinking experiences, I think. Some of the boats we're trying to float through life. Just look straight ahead and smile. Nobody knows we're talking about your boat. All right. Look at Matthew chapter 10. What is it that we confess? What is it we're saying? Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Just some things that Jesus said about this. Who do we say that he is? Who is he? Verse 32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. If you confess me before men, I don't ever want to put Jesus in a position where he has to deny my belief and my confession before the Father. Who am I saying that he is? Look in Mark chapter 8, please. Mark chapter 8. Some of these are similar statements that are made, but different, just a little bit different in each of the Gospels. I want to look at them. Mark chapter 8, verse 38. Look what Jesus said here. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. You know, I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but the world's getting more and more sinful. Getting darker out there. Further and further away from God, further away from the light. Are we standing up? Are we being that light? Several years ago, I heard Pastor Bill preach a sermon on what kind of light are you? Out of the Sermon on the Mount, he talked about, said, you know, you can be a blinking light, go on sometimes and off sometimes, on and off, on and off. You can be low beam. You can be high beam. How many of you old enough remember when you had to push that button on the floor to get your high beams to come on? Now, we got one of our vehicles. You set it the right way. It will determine whether or not it can go on high beam or not. You know, it just, that's incredible. But then he went further on. He said, but you could be a lighthouse. Ooh, that's a nice light there. Amen. Look in Luke chapter 12. Not being ashamed of Jesus. Not being ashamed of his word. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say something else with that. Not ashamed of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of Christians that are different than you are. Pastor Craig said this morning, how boring would it be if you were the only one on earth? I know some of you think you'd like that, but you wouldn't. I mean, just you and your own sitcom, I guess. I don't know. What would you be? Your reality show. What are you going to watch tonight, Tad? I'm going to watch Tad's reality show. That's all there is. All right? Did you find Luke 12? Look at verse 8. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. Woo! I want Jesus speaking my name before the angels. I want him telling them, hey, go help Tad with that. Hey, go make that happen. Go make that come to pass. Amen? Look at John chapter 1. John, the first chapter. Who do you say that he is? Who do you say? Not who do you think he is, or who does grandma say he is, or not granddaddy. Who do you say he is? Well, brother so-and-so said he's this. No, who do you say he is? You got to answer that question for yourself. And it goes on, it's more than just accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Who are you saying he is after you become a Christian? John 1, verse 41, first of all, it says, this is Andrew, Simon's, Peter's brother, said he first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. Look, Andrew went to his brother and said, look, we found him. We found the Messiah. Look what Philip did down in verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. We found him, glory to God. Look at verse 49. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, you are the son of God. You are the king of Israel. Recognition. They recognized who he was. I believe all of them received it by revelation. Look what the woman at the well said in John chapter 4. When she went in town to tell everybody she had met somebody, she'd met a man. John chapter 4, verse 29. This woman went into town. She said, come and see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? You see, they're choosing to believe. But there in Jesus' hometown, when he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears, they chose not to believe. And he could there do no mighty work. See, what you believe and what you confess will limit what Jesus has done and can do in your life. Who do you say he is? Look at John chapter 6. Jesus had preached a pretty tough sermon. Many of his disciples quit walking with him. They wouldn't follow him any longer. He asked the 12, are you going to leave also? Simon said in verse 68, well, where should we go? It's kind of as if they had thought about it, but they just don't know where else they could go. Then verse 69, we believe and are sure that you are the Christ, that Christ, the Son of the living God. Not a, you're that Christ. You're the one that we've been looking for. You're the one that's the answer to every need. Look in Acts chapter 8. You remember here that Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ to them there. Many people were healed. Peter and John came down, ministered the baptism of the Holy Spirit to him. Philip was caught away supernaturally and came in contact with this Ethiopian who was studying, reading Isaiah the prophet. Philip started there and preached Christ to him. And look at verse 36. And as they went on their way, this is Acts 8:36, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, there, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Philip baptizing, glory to God. If you believe, who do you believe he is? Who do you say that he is? Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. I'll read this in the New King James Bible. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him up to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? That's a good question to ask. In every situation that we encounter in life, we ought to ask, who are you, Lord? Who is this Jesus? What is Jesus? What is God in this situation? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now I know, and I'm not speaking against some people's faith. I'm just saying what the Word of God has to say about things. That we're to pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? Amen. But yet God's Word also says that sin is abounding. Thank God grace is much more abounding. But the Bible says in Revelation 12 that Satan has come down to the earth with great wrath because he knows his time is short. And these things are not going to get less and less. They're going to ramp up. Now, I'm not prophesying doom and gloom because we have the victory. Amen? Just because Satan ramps things up doesn't mean we got less authority over him than we had just a moment ago. We still have authority over the devil and over everything of the devil. Amen? But I'm going to tell you, you're going to have opportunity to be in fear. But look what Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 1, starting in verse 6. New King James says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own power, his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed unto him until that day. I know whom I believe. Who do you say he is? Who do you say he is? When they start talking about this or start talking about that, who do you say he is in your life? John chapter 17, verse 3, Jesus said, this is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And let's look at Romans chapter 10. Do you know him today? Do you know who he is? Do you know him in every situation? He is Savior, but he's also Lord. Amen. But he's more than that. We've limited God. We've limited God, Jesus, to what, you know, to just certain things. But yet he is our all in all. I think it was him in his book on blood covenant that made a statement. And I know that, who wrote that book on the power of the blood? But concerning the cup that Jesus drank. During that covenant ceremony, he said, the cup of our salvation, Jesus drank every drop so that there's nothing left that still needs to be drank. Nothing left that still needs to be taken care of. Jesus has already drained the cup. And we are complete in him. Hallelujah. Look at Romans 10:9. that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That word saved, and the word salvation there is the all-inclusive word of the gospel, according to Scofield in his notes on Romans 1:16, where he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We've been reading about this. Are there areas in our life? Are there areas in the things of God? Are there areas that we've allowed ourselves to become ashamed of in the word of God? I think I've mentioned to you before, I was holding some Holy Ghost meetings at my brother-in-law's church, and we're just coming, and the Holy Ghost was moving. But then I had the Lord tell me, he said, you've become ashamed of the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. I said, now, Lord, I said, you've hit, you know, kind of like, that hits below the belt. That's a low blow, God. I speak in tongues every day. He said, when's the last time when you preached and gave anybody an opportunity to be baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues? Now, when God starts asking you questions, you might as well just say, you know, Lord, just, you know. But it had been a long time. So that night I knew my American Baptist grandma was going to be there. Amen. I knew she was going to be in the service. She came to hear her grandson preach. She was at all the meetings. I mean, there's already been some wild things going on, so I mean, that was not going to be any more wild, I guess, than what was happening. But she would come to the meeting. And so I preached and gave an altar call and asked who wanted to be baptized in the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues. Several people came forward. But I even had to decide, even then, during that service, am I ashamed of it? Because I don't see, if I won't confess it before my grandma, you see what I'm saying? See, he said, there is nothing to repeat. I didn't ask you, Siri. Get thee behind me. Amen. But have we become ashamed of the gospel? Who do you say he is? Three important points. When you know who he is, you can know who you are. When Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said, you are Peter. And you are blessed. You see, when Peter found out who Jesus was, Jesus told him who he was. And when you find out who he is, he's going to tell you who you are. So when you know who he is, you know who you are. Second one, when you know what he has, you can know what you have. Because we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We are the seed of Abraham. The blessing of the Spirit belongs to us. Amen. So first, when you know who he is, you can know who you are. When you know what he has, you can know what you have. And when you know what he will do, you can know what you can do. Hallelujah. Who do you say he is? And thinking about this, I put this together. In fact, I actually preached this message in 2022 here at the church, in different places that year. But as I was praying, the Lord brought this back to my remembrance. And I've been preaching to myself for the last several days. And I tell you what, It was hard not to just to run off the preaching anointing during the worship, because glory to God, I got a river of living water. Hallelujah. The anointing. Woo! Pastor Craig mentioned that this morning. We got this same anointing. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power and went about doing good. Like he said, I'm going to put my name. Tad's anointed by the Holy Ghost and power and goes about doing good. Healing everybody oppressed of the devil. Setting the oppressed free because God's with me. Glory to God. Not because of Tab, but because God's with me. Because of that anointing. You're no different than me. But I put together some things. And so I'm not going to give you time to take notes. They're not going to be on the screen. I just want you to listen. Are you ready? He is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, that I might be saved. He's the Son of the living God, that I might be God's Son. He's the Lord of my life, that I might have life. Who is He? He's the Redeemer, that I might be redeemed. Who is He? He's Healer, that I might be healed. Who is He? He's Deliverer, that I might be delivered. Who is He? He's Holy, that I might be holy. Who is He? He is righteous, that I might be righteous. Who is He? He is faithful, that I might have faith. Who is He? He is good, that I might be good. Who is He? He's gracious, that I might have grace. He's merciful, that I might have mercy. Who is He? Who is this? Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is truth, that I might be free. He is love, that I might know love. He is the light of life, that I might walk in the light. He is the good shepherd, that I might know His care. Who is this one who said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life? He is the apostle and high priest of my confession, so that I can call things that be not as though they were. Who is He? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, so that I might walk in divine patience. Who is He? He is King of kings, that I might reign in life as a king. Who is He? He's Lord of lords, that I might have authority over all the power of the enemy. Who is He? He is the name above all names. Who is He? He is the Alpha and Omega. Who is He? Who do you say He is? He is the lily of the valley. He is the rose of Sharon. He is the star of Jacob. He is the scepter of David. He is the rod and the branch, the stem of Jesse. He is the Ancient of Days. Who is He? He is wonderful. He is Counselor. He's the Mighty God. He's the Everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. Who is He? He's Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Glory to God. And when situations and circumstances come in our life, we need to stand up, lift your eyes up, throw your shoulders back, and declare with a loud voice, He is the answer. He is the healing to every sickness. He is the deliverer to every oppression. He is the salvation to every man, woman, and child. He is the answer. There is no other answer. There is no other way to God but through Him. There is no other source of life but Him. Who is He? Who do you say He is? You see, it's one thing for me to declare it, but who do you say He is? Tonight when you go home, and I don't know, maybe you sit down to pay some bills tonight, and you look at your bank account, and you look at your bills, who do you say He is? What are you declaring? Amen? When it looks like it's not happening, when you spoke to the mountain and it doesn't look like the mountain has moved a piece of dust, what do you say? What do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus never told a lie? No, He never told a lie. If He said, speak to the mountain and it would be cast into the sea, that mountain is on the verge of casting. Yes. Amen? Yes. You speak to that mountain of bills that you have. You speak to that mountain, all these students now have tuition and rent, food, all those things that we need to have. That He, the Bible says, is the one who meets all those needs according to His riches and glory. Hallelujah. What is He to you? Who is He to you in that situation? Over and over again, you hear Pastor Hagin saying it all the time because he was raised this way. I used to hear Brother Hagin say, what does God's word say about it? That's why we have the t-shirt out there. I believe it. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. That's it. What do you say when someone tells you you're not going to make it this time? What do you say when someone, even someone's a child of God, just like Peter, right after Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and God and Jesus said to him, you're blessed, Simon. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Right after that, Jesus says, now that you realize, gentlemen, I'm going to Jerusalem. Son of Man's going to die. Jesus, and Peter said, not so, Lord. And the Bible says, Peter rebuked Jesus. And Jesus looks at Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, for you savor not the things of God. What are you going to do when that family member, what are you going to say? What are you going to believe when that fellow believer, instead of becoming a comfort and a counselor, becomes one of Job's friends to you? What are you going to do when your spouse says, just curse God and die? No, start declaring who he is, who he is, who he is. Who do you say he is? I can't say it for you. No one else can say it for you. You declare who he is. And I don't want to downplay anybody's situation. I don't want to downplay anybody's circumstances. Who knows? I don't want to downplay any of that. But listen to me. If you are not declaring what God says about your situation, that's the answer to your but why. But you don't know my situation. But you don't know my parents. But you don't know this. Listen. But God changes every one of those. But God. But God. Who do you say he is? Well, everybody in my family, everybody in my family, they have this certain disease. But God put me in a new family, glory to God. And there's no heart disease. There's no diabetes. There's none of that. There's no craziness. There's nobody losing their mind in the family of God. We're in a new family. But God. Who do you say he is? Who do you say he is? Amen. Father, we thank you and we praise you in this place tonight. We praise you in this place tonight, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, we declare your word is true. Every circumstance, every indication that's contrary to your word is a lie. Because your word is true. I thank you, Father God. I thank you, Father God, that we can declare the word. We can declare who Jesus is in every situation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know why the Lord told me to do this, but I'm going to obey. I want to obey God. You want me to obey God? I'm going to do it whether you want me to or not, but I just... Philip Ramsey, stand up. I'm standing there praising God, and I heard the Lord say, tell Philip Ramsey to stand up and tell him this, on behalf of the Father, he's proud of you, and he's not done with you, and the best is yet to come. Amen? Amen. Now, you know I could say that to everybody in here, but he said tell it to Philip. I don't know why. He hadn't told me anything. I don't know anything about. I actually know his daughter more than I do him because she's in class every day. I see her in class. Amen? Hallelujah. Lord is good. I don't know. It may look bad. All I know is the Lord's good. I'm going to preach that again someday, the good, the bad, and the ugly. God's good, the devil's bad, and everything of the devil's ugly. It was a youth sermon I did years and years ago. Hallelujah. Let's all stand up. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Say, well, why doesn't God call me out? I don't know. Maybe you don't want God to call you out. Maybe he'd tell us things you don't want anybody else to hear. You know, 40 years ago, I did come back. I think I graduated in 1984 from Rhema Bible School here, and then we had homecoming in the fall back then. So there in the fall of 84, I was actually back here for homecoming, came in 85. It got to be, Brother Hagin, you know, operating the office of the prophet, and there for 2 or 3 years in a row, he stood up, and by the Spirit of the Lord, when we'd meet down in the RMA, you know, just him with all the alumni, he'd say, some of you, unless you make a correction, are not going to be here next year. I don't mean at the meeting. I mean you're going to die. And every year, some people didn't make the adjustments, and they died. And then it got to be, you know, are you going to homecoming? Have you repented? Make a, you know, so maybe you don't always want the prophet of God to walk around the room, you know, and people say, well, Brother Hagin's walking around the room. And I remember sitting there going, oh God, I repent of things I don't even know if I did. I repent. Please don't tell Brother Hagin on me. I don't know what I did. I don't think I did, but oh God. Amen. Who do you say he is? Prayer team, if you'll come down here. Hallelujah. We're studying right now in one of the classes on believers' authority. We're to reign in kings' life. You know how kings reign? They make decrees. I'm going to challenge you. There's some things you need to start decreeing over your life because that's who he is. When you know who he is, then you know who you are. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight. If you need prayer, come on down here as soon as we dismiss. But let's just all lift our hands right now and thank the Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for your word. We give you all the praise and all the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Hey, don't forget we got a prayer meeting tomorrow at 11:30 for international schools over at SDC 1. If you want to come and others, is there anybody else this week besides Revive and morning prayer? Then we start at the first of the month out. So monthly, there's meetings here, weekly. All right, God bless you. Have a great one. We'll see you here on Wednesday night, Hour of Power.